After joining us on the line, Jake Shepherd, he's a founder director at a Synthesis, and we're talking about, talking about servant leadership. We're saying that leaders don't aspire to be leaders, they aspire to influence and to make a difference. Talk to us about what this concept of a servant leader, though, is.
Yeah, so I think really it's almost trying to, servant leader, you can put a hyphen between the words. In other words, it's one word, servant leader. I saw a very interesting criticism of this word in Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, where he likes talking about something called level 5 leaders. And he and his team didn't like the term servant leader because they felt it seemed to diminish the will and determination of true leaders. It almost seems to make them too submissive. And I think where they are wrong is that the servant actually doesn't detract in any way from the leader. It's basically, you know, servant leaders are still like they've got a fanatical drive and they're uncompromising in their focus and they want to achieve their goals. But it's what servant leaders are trying to focus on is that you want to remove the focus from the ego. Because really it's not about, servant leadership is not about trying to serve yourself, you know, through recognition or awards or building a personal legacy. Those are egocentric goals. And in that case, servant leadership seems to be a bit of an oxymoron. But if the goal is really to serve the purpose and the mission of the company and to grow people around you and then make sure that the business is ultimately going to, you know, thrive. And then when basically the concept is when I move on and I go to that next phase of my life, how is the company going to collapse without me? Then your leadership almost tells you it was egocentric, or is it going to thrive and continue to do well? And so that's really the focus, is how do we make sure that I'm serving the needs of the people and the needs of the company? And that's really in its essence what servant leadership is about.
In a strange way, in an ironic way, it actually takes a tremendous amount of self-confidence, probably more self-confident to be a servant leader than a more traditional leader?
I think so, because I think what you're trying to do is you're not trying to prop up your ego. And in that sense, you're a lot so you're a lot more at home with who you are and that you don't need to prove to anybody that. So in that sense, I think you're 100% right. But what I'd like to maybe just look at is some of the attributes that servant leaders have and how they, because that's an interesting way of looking at it, is saying, well, what are the attributes I need? So the one is an attribute of, do you use persuasion or do you use power and authority to lead?
Interesting.
So there's a famous saying by, there's a famous quote from Shakespeare, they that have the power to hurt and will do none. So the whole concept is, yes, you've got the power, but the question is, how do you use that power? Do you use it to coerce people, to force them to do what you wanted them to do, like pulling rank? Or do you do it in a covert way, which is a persuasive way? You try and persuade people as to why they should do things. And I think power should really be used to create opportunities and alternatives so that the individuals who are under your leadership can then choose what is the best for them and choose what is the best for the company. So it's,
This is so interesting, the point that you brought up, Howard, about how a person would need to have, you know, a lot of confidence to be able to be a servant leader. Because I think a lot of us place our value in companies, you know, in reference to, if I go, you know, will they be missing something? And it's very interesting that Jake is, you know, saying that you build up people under your leadership so that even when you're gone, they can be able to do what they need to do in order to serve the greater purpose.
In other words, you don't make yourself, it's not about fulfilling your own need to be needed, you're actually empowering people.
Yeah, so what you're trying to do is you're trying to strengthen individuals, because when you strengthen the individuals, you create a more resilient and capable company at the end of the day, and that's really your goal. And it also means that servant leaderships need to have a lot of patience, you know, because the whole concept is, in terms of getting the right people on the bus, you want to make sure that the people that you get on board on the company are the right people. And the corollary to that is really that you want to get the wrong people off the bus. And then once you've got the right people, it's just to have a bit of patience. And it's patience to try and find the right fit for that person in the company. Because not everyone's going to get placed in the ideal role from the get-go. And sometimes you have the perfect person, but they're not in the perfect role for that person. So yes, you still need to be demanding, but you need to really realize that if a person doesn't quite click in a particular area, maybe they're going to click in another area, certainly if they have that potential. And I think another area that's really important for servant leaderships, another attribute is empathy. And just to realize that none of us are perfect. So we've all got our issues and challenges. You know, often we bring to work our family struggles. Or we take home, I suppose, the same way as we take home work struggles to the family, there are other things that impact on our moods and affect how we work in every day. And I think, you know, from a leadership point of view, we need to recognize that people are flawed, but all great companies are built with flawed people. So you need the empathy to really just understand where people are coming from. You know, why are they demotivated, why are they sometimes depressed, why they're in bad moods. And then instead of destroying the relationships.
Sorry, just a question before you move on, because just a question from Ansan says, is it what you're saying is that, so if you view yourself as a leader, then you are speaking to your own ego. But if you think of yourself as a servant, then you are humbled to lead with and can lead with humility.
So I think that's a good observation. You need to see yourself as a servant leader. And what that means is, yes, you have the duty to lead, but you have the duty to serve as well. And you need to combine those two. So it's, in a sense, those are two words.
It's a combination. Yes. Yeah.
We don't often see those words combined, but I think what we need to do is realize that leading doesn't mean dictating to others and coercing others to do something. It means showing them the way and they'll follow. But you then need to say, well, what is it that's blocking them going there? And if you can work out what it is that's blocking them, you as the leader can help overcome those obstacles, remove them, help people that are under your guidance work out how to get to that next step. And it's really about that growth and having the empathy, just to realize you're working with people. They can get there, each individual person. I think something I learned quite recently is, what is the reason why we work? And it's quite a fundamental question. Many people think why would somebody actually go to work every day? It's drudgery, it's hard. And the only reason they're going to work is because they need the salary. And therefore, they're going to slack off at any moment. And any time that they're going to want to actually have a chance to take a bit of a break, they're going to take it. And therefore, as a manager or as a leader, you need to be on top of your people and tell them what to do and make sure they don't slack off. And that's actually the wrong model. It's a totally wrong model to how we view why people work. People work because they want to grow. And they want to be challenged.
This is 101.9 High FM News.
Sorry, Jack. That was my fault. I just hit completely the wrong button. Yeah. I do apologize for that. That's one of the problems with working remotely, but that can be another conversation. Sorry, Jack, you were getting to such a critical point, which was why people actually work.
Work, yes, and people work because they want to grow, they want to be challenged, they want to make a difference, they want to do something of value to others, they want to do something of value to the community and to society at large. And if you realize that, it's not about bringing out the shambok and micromanaging. It's about just creating the environment within which people can actually do what they really want to do, which is to produce great stuff, to grow and to actually do something that's of value to themselves and to others. And I think as soon as you realize that, your whole approach changes to how we interact with people. And we then basically say, well, we need to really encourage personal growth. We're here to build people. We want people to grow taller. We want them to become healthier, stronger. We want them to become autonomous. We want them to become not dependent on us. And when you do that, you transform your company into a people-building institution as opposed to a people-using institution. And that changes everything, because then every time you, any incentive plan you put in place, like, let's say your motivational management, if you are a people using sort of institution, those backfire. People see through it for the hypocrisy that it is. And I really, so we really just need to realize that we need to tap in to people and their aspirations. So I often, when I'm speaking to people, they say, what is it that drives you? What is your personal project that you want to achieve in your life? Like what motivates you? What is that aspect that you want to aspire to? Now, if you can articulate that, then, so he's looking at the person first, then where in the company can they express that best? Where, doing the day-to-day work, can that dovetail with their own personal goals? So that's what I mean. Like, focus on the personal growth of the person, and then actually see how the company can fit into that.
Really, really fascinating. Jake Shepherd, founder and director at Synthesis, thank you for speaking to us. Unfortunately, just have some breaking news this morning. We wake up South Africans with sad news that we now have our first deaths as a result of COVID-19. The two deaths have occurred in the Western Cape, one at a private hospital and the other at a public hospital. We don't have details of that, but we certainly will see what we can get for you.